I'm Pastor John. Welcome to Belmont. Glad you're here. Go ahead and turn in your copy of the scriptures to Psalm chapter 96. Psalm chapter 96. If you're not familiar with the scriptures, I'll give you a help. If you go ahead and go to Psalm 95 and then go over one more, it's in between Psalm 95 and Psalm 97. All right, that didn't help at all, did it? So if you open your Bible like halfway in the middle, you'll probably be in the Psalms, and then you'll find chapter 96 shortly thereafter. So today I'm excited because we get to start a new series called Sing to the Lord, and it's from Psalm chapter 96. And really, I'm excited just to be in the Psalms because the Psalms are maybe something that some of us are not real familiar with. And so I hope that you learn not just what we are learning about this specific chapter, but I hope that as we travel through the Psalm 96 together, that you'll learn a little bit about the Psalms in general. You may not know this, but the Psalms are considered to be the songbook of the Bible. And so usually you'll hear people reading. We just had the opportunity to hear someone singing, but mostly you'll hear people reading the Psalms. But the Psalms are the songs or the poetry of the Scripture. And so these songs are the songs that Jesus sang, right? So when Jesus was born 2,000 years ago into a Jewish community, these are the songs that he grew up knowing and singing. And they're a good thing to sing because they help us to memorize them. In fact, on the way here to church service this morning, my daughter Maggie, she's been trying to memorize Psalm chapter 96. And she got hung up on a verse and she goes, "Ah, Dad, you know, why can I like remember a song that I'm not even trying to remember, but it's so hard to memorize words, right, that I'm just reading?" And that's the point in a lot of ways, is that songs are easy to remember, and that's why God wanted to put his words to music. And so in some sense, we are all made to sing. You might be here this morning and say, "I'm a terrible singer. I love to sing." Anybody in the same category as me? I love to sing, but I consider myself not to be a good-sounding singer. There's a couple of us, all right? Y'all, the rest of you probably already know who we were, right? You're like, "Yeah, we already had you picked out there, had you picked out there." And that's why I moved away from where you sit. That's okay. That is all right. I hope that we walk away from this short series in Psalm 96 inspired to do some more singing. Inspired to, even if you consider yourself not a singer, that you would feel inspired, encouraged, and even called to sing to the Lord in a greater and bolder and more celebratory kind of a way. We love the Psalms because they're a passage of Scripture, they're a part of the Scriptures that teach us not only how to think, but they also teach us how to feel, right? And some of you people here would say, "You know, I'm more of a feeler than I am a thinker." Well, those two things, you don't want to separate them too much. You want to keep those things together, your emotions and your thoughts. And the Psalms teach us really good theology about who God is. And yet at the same time, they guide us or they walk us through our emotions. Because invariably in our lives, we're going to come across times where we're feeling down and depressed. Anybody here ever felt in the dumps a little bit once in a while, maybe right now? The Psalms can help you work through that so that your emotions don't take over your life, but so that as you read how King David was depressed and how he dealt with that depression, that you can follow his pattern and you can come out of that depression in a right way. And you might be here and you would say, "Pastor John, there's been times in my life where I've fallen into sin. And I felt so guilty and so bad about it that I didn't know what to do." Well, good news for you, Psalms chapter 51, King David wrote that after he had fallen into great sin. And he helps us to think rightly about our sin, not to sweep it under the rug, but to confess it and to put it out there before the Lord, and then to receive that forgiveness from the Lord. And so the Psalms help us to think and to feel, whether we're praising, whether we're angry, whether we want revenge on somebody, whatever it is that you're feeling, the Psalms has something for you. But Psalm 96 is a song of praise, and it's a song about missions. And so it's a beautiful psalm, I think, because it's a song about singing, right? The very first line out of this song is, "Oh, sing to the Lord." So it's a song about singing. It's a song encouraging us to sing. But it's a song singing about how amazing and praiseworthy God is. And yet at the same time, and these two things are hard to separate, that because God is worthy to sing about, worthy to praise because of his glory, he's also worthy and capable and able of displaying that glory to all the nations. And he's calling us, even in the Old Testament, to share the gospel, not just with one nation, but with all the nations, with all the entire earth. And you'll see that as you're going through this month and you're memorizing this chapter with us, that you'll go, man, there's this great passage about Jesus or about the Lord and how much we should praise him, and at the same time, how we should share that with everybody else. And that should be the way it is. When there's a song that's in your heart that you really love, you know that song when you were younger and you had that CD and you're like, or for some of us, maybe a tape cassette, that you would have to rewind it and get it right back to the beginning of that song because you played it through so many times. You memorized every single high and low and every single word. That kind of a song that gets into your heart that you're just kind of humming throughout the day, that should be the gospel to you and to me, right? Amen? That should be the good news that is in our hearts that we can't help but sing about. It might come out in a way that you think is not so beautiful, but the gospel is always beautiful. And so when we're singing about it, it's something that is contagious. And so in a way, when we're here on Sunday mornings and we're singing and we're praising, we're also preaching the gospel to each other and to those who are looking on. Psalm chapter 96. Let's pray and then we'll jump right in. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this song. Lord, for your songbook. Lord, for your scriptures. Lord, thank you that they're inspired and trustworthy and true. And God, I pray that today we would all leave here feeling like more of a singer than when we first came in here. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today I'll be covering just the first three verses in Psalm chapter 96. There's 13 verses altogether. But before we do that, I'm just going to go ahead and read Psalm 96, 1 through 13, all the way through. And so, if you would, just follow along. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Why? Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Here's why. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Let me stop right there and just say, you could easily break down Psalm chapter 96 into four parts. And so if you're memorizing it, it might be good to take these four verses or stanzas or sections or components and memorize them separately. The first three would be, you could title that Sing, right? Verses 1 through 3, sing to the Lord a new song. And then verses 4 through 6, praise, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord, he made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Then worship, verses 7 through 10. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And then rejoice, 11 through 13. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. And so this is a song that really builds. And so as you're memorizing it, as you're singing it to yourself, as we're preaching through it, you'll notice that there's this building quality throughout where it's almost like one of those YouTube videos where somebody sets up with a violin or something in a subway station. Anybody ever seen that? And they're all by themselves. And everybody ignores them, and then somebody else shows up, and they start playing another musical instrument whose name I do not know, and then nobody pays attention, and then three or four more people show up, and then all of a sudden, you have an entire symphony right there, And then everybody's astounded. And there's kind of that same building quality that's going on in this passage where the psalmist is talking about us individually. Hey, sing to the Lord a new song. And then by the end, he's inviting even the creation itself is singing to its creator and saying, God is good. He is worthy to be praised. Let's all rejoice. Even the trees and the oceans, all of that is making music to the Lord and pointing toward his glory. Amen. So today, as we enter into Sing to the Lord, the title of our sermon today is Sing of His Salvation. Sing of His Salvation. And I have three points, really, that we're going to talk about as we talk about sing of His salvation. That's sing a new song, sing a daily song, and sing a shared song. The first verse there, we really see what's popping out, and the point I want to draw out is that we need to be singing a new song to the Lord. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. You notice there, when you're reading your copy of the scriptures, I'm sure, and you get to the word Lord, you'll notice that it's all capitalized. And so all the words around it are not capitalized. And so you might not notice that if you got small print there, but if you look down real closely, you'll see that it is the word Lord is capitalized because there's different ways of saying the word Lord in our language, and they want to signify there in your copy of the scriptures any place that it's referring to the name Yahweh, it's capitalized in that way. And they do that to distinguish it from another name of the Lord, which is the name Adonai. And so this term right here is the term Yahweh, which is the most sacred of names for the Lord. And so the Jewish people would even have a hard time just even saying that name out loud because they revered it so much and they considered it so sacred that they only would write it and they would take the vowels out of it, but they wouldn't actually say the name out loud, the name of Yahweh. And that name really, when you boil it all down, just means I am. I always have been. I am the God that is, right? That I exist. I always have existed. I exist now, and I always will exist. There's never going to be a time where God is not. He is above everything. He is all that there is. And so it's a term here that we need to understand because he says, oh, sing to this God, right? Sing to the Lord, not any other God. So when we sing a new song, for some of us, singing that new song may be switching what it is that we are worshiping. And so I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit and just encouraging us to say, consider the songs that we sing. Because songs have power, songs have meaning. And yes, they make our heart dance and they make us rejoice. But there's lyrics behind those things and they have power that take us to a specific place. And so it's important for us that we sing about and to the right person, that we sing to Yahweh, the great I am. And you might not realize the power that songs have over your life, but you know, you can sing just a couple of words or chords to a certain song and it'll take you back to a certain place in time where you thought you had forgot all about it. Then all of a sudden, maybe somebody sings something like, I've got friends in low places. And all of a sudden, where are you? Some of you are like, I'm in torture. Stop. But some of you got transported back 25 years ago or so, whenever that song came out, and you're like, ah, I was in my rowdy stage back then, and I wasn't worshiping the Lord back then, and I was happy that I had friends in low places. And if we started that song up right now, many of you could sing right along, having never heard that song in 10 years, but all of a sudden now you could just sing it word for word. Songs have power. For those of you who have no clue what I'm talking about when I said those words, how about this? Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. Now others are like, no clue what you're talking about. And others are like, should he be saying this in church? We'll talk about that later. But it does take you someplace. Words have power and meaning in your life. And so that's why we need to elevate our understanding about song and how God has wired us up and embrace it and make sure that as we are putting things into our mind throughout the week, whether it's spoken word or whether it's song, that we're evaluating those things and saying these things have power over the way I think and how I feel. And I want to make sure that I'm not being legalistic, but I want to make sure that I'm worshiping the one true God in every aspect of my life. You know, if you go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, you don't need to turn there now, but I'll just tell you that that's where we actually first see this song in Scripture. That as King David is having the Ark of the Covenant, which was recovered from the Philistines, finally brought back to the city of Jerusalem where it was going to reside and where it belonged, this is one of the songs that they sang and that led the procession, that led the way, because God was doing a new thing, a new work. And so sing a new song to the Lord isn't necessarily always we have to sing a brand new song that's never been sung before. But how it relates to you in your life is that you need to be able to sing to the Lord a new song, because God might be doing something new in your life, transporting you to a new season. And that might even be a season that's not fun, a season that where you're just coming out of a battle, where you've had to fight for something, you've had to do something that was uncomfortable, you had to do something that you wish you had never gone through. But in that moment, it gives you the ability to sing like you've never sung before, because you never had those words before. You'd never had those feelings before. And out of those feelings and out of those emotions, God is able to give you a new song. He hasn't changed. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he is so multifaceted and so much greater than you and I are, that as we come to grips with who he is and we are able to see more and more parts of who he is, of course we should sing a new song. Amen? Of course we should sing and go, I should celebrate today, I should celebrate this week, I should celebrate this month, because I've seen the Lord in a way that I've never seen him before, and he's come and he's ministered to me in a way that I never knew I needed it. And we sing a new song because of that, not necessarily a brand new song that's never been sung, but a song that helps you realize, you ever sung an old song, and you go, you know what, I never picked up on that line before because you weren't there. But now it makes sense to you that as you sing the song or as you sing those words, that it makes sense. God, I remember when God was working on me and pulling me and tugging me and really dragging me into the ministry, and I was being a bit resistant, that God used a song to minister in my life. So I had been going through this season of turmoil and change, and I was resisting, and I was thinking, what about my plans? What about the thing that I've decided that I'm going to do? And a song that I've sung, you know, 100 times before at that worship service on that night, Love So Amazing, Love So Divine. I don't know why it hit me then. Demands my life, demands my all, demands my everything. Right there in that moment, I got clarity. It all made sense. That everything that I was singing about before was really about me. And those are the songs we like to sing, right? Sometimes when we sing praise songs, we're not really praising the Lord. We're kind of wanting praise for ourselves. And I was shown in that moment that's who I was. And when I let go and I let God take over, I began to sing a new song, the same words, but a new song. And God was doing something new in me. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. That's new, right? Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Part of the reason why this is new in this context is because the Jewish people were prone to think that God was their God, that they were the special ones, that they were the chosen ones, and they kind of had it twisted a little bit in their thinking, because the gospel, the good news about Jesus, has always been for all nations. And God was using this chosen nation, yes, to highlight his glory, his works, his covenant throughout time, his faithfulness, and his plan of redemption to everybody else. And so the Israelites were here singing a new song to the Lord, sing to the Lord all the earth. Because as the Philistines were defeated and they were bringing this ark back to where it belonged, it was a display for everybody to see that it wasn't just this small little nation that was able to overcome this giant tribe of people. It was a great God who had defeated them. And now all nations could begin to see in a greater way how amazing God is. All of the earth will one day sing. All of the earth will one day bow their knee to Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what we're singing about. We want to sing a new song. Let me encourage you that as you sit here today and as you are leaving this afternoon around 2 or 3, that you would say, God, give me a new song. Lord Jesus, would you put a new song in my heart? Because the song that I've been singing, I got to be honest with you, Lord, it's that song. It's like that radio station that plays that song too many times, and they wear it out, and first you used to love it, and now you hate it, and you change the station right away. Sometimes Christians sing that same song for so long, they can't even pick this up in the morning. This becomes a chore. Like the same old song. Do I really have to do this? Feel guilty if I don't? Man, don't do that, right? Rejoice! You have the opportunity to sing the songs about the Lord, and he'll give you a new song. Just ask him. Lord, put a new pep in my step. Lord, give me zeal for you like I haven't had in a while. Lord, help me to sing the way that I haven't sung before. Take me into a new season with you. Verse 2. Sing a daily song, right? Don't just sing a new song, but sing a daily song. He says this, sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. So the salvation song of the Lord that we're singing about this morning is not a song that you sing just one time. It's not a song that's just for one person. It's a song that should be in our hearts from day to day. And when we're filled up with Jesus, when we're filled up with the good news about the gospel, it's a song that we sing throughout the day. Guarantee you what will happen later on at my house this afternoon is that my kids will be walking around the house singing one of the songs that we sang here today. It happens without fail because that song gets into their head and they start singing it. And then on Wednesday night, they'll be going to bed and brushing their teeth, and all of a sudden that song will start coming out again. And it's funny how everybody in the house will kind of, without knowing it, be singing the same song. You understand what I'm saying? Where you're like, hey, where'd you hear that? It's like, you know, I think that's one of the ones we did on Sunday, and that's why it's stuck in there. And so we want to sing a daily song. We want to be putting in the right stuff, the right lyrics, the right music, the right components to the right songs all the time in a daily way so that a daily song is coming out and that we're singing about the Lord and his goodness all the time. Amen? I know this has never happened to you, but have you ever showed up to church on a Sunday morning and you felt so dry and you look back over your week and you think, I don't think I sang a song all week. I mean, that's never happened to me, but I think it's happened where you look back and you go, man, this was like a week without music. It was a week without Jesus. I know he's there. I believe, but it's not changing. It's not giving me joy. I'm not overflowing. The fruits of the Spirit are not present in my life, and I know that, and I don't want to verbalize that, but if I had to be really honest with myself and look back, it would be like that long, awkward car ride with your friend who refused to turn the radio on, and they were not a good conversationalist, right? Some of you are like, that's my spouse. Don't say that. But it's better when you set things to music. We play this trick in my car on my kids because when they start picking and fighting with each other, it's like, hey, let's pick out a fun song that we know they like. And all of a sudden, everything else goes away. And they start singing the song, and they kind of sing in unison. And then they're having a good time, and they forgot what they were arguing about. And when you can do that, when you can sing to the Lord on a daily basis, when you learn how to preach the gospel to yourself on the regular, and you're doing that all the time, nonstop, and it becomes a part of who you are, and it's fresh, and it's new, and it's daily, it begins to shape the way you think and the way you feel. Sing a new song. Sing a daily song. Last but not least, let's sing a shared song. What do you mean sing a shared song, Pastor John? Well, verse 3 says this, declare his glory among the nations, right? This is good news that we're meant to share, a song that we're meant to share with others and not just keep to ourselves. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. It's not just for people that look like you and me. It's not just for people that know to wake up and go to a church service on a Sunday morning. It's for people all over the world that know nothing about Jesus and the good news, and we're meant to be singing so loudly that they can't help but hear. If you go back to the word declare in your copy of the scriptures, it might say proclaim, but that's basically the Old Testament version of evangelize. So in the Greek version of the Old Testament, that is the word used for evangelize in the New Testament. And that's how we say that word today, evangelize or share the good news. Share the good news of the glory of God among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. It's not just for the nation of Israel. It's not just for the United States of America. It's not just for you and your household, but it's for the people that live next door to your house that notice that you and your family sing a different song, that you're marching to the beat of a different drummer, that you're not like the world, that you don't fit in for some reason. And maybe the music you listen to at first, when I first hear it, it sounds awful to me. It sounds terrible. But then over time, as you declare it, as you share it, as I hear that song, it begins to make sense, and the truth of the words come to my heart and my mind, and over time it shapes how I feel and how I think, and then all of a sudden, the good news of Jesus Christ is bursting into my heart, and now I'm singing the same song that you were singing, although at first I didn't like the way it sounded. Amen? That is how we share the good news. We get the good news in us so much that we can't contain it, and then we have to tell somebody, we have to sing about it. And so he says, declare his glory. That's why we say we want to sing not just a new song and not just a daily song, but we want to sing a shared song. We want to share this song with all the nations. You know, we had a wonderful time in Puerto Rico just a few weeks ago as we were there on mission, and we were studying this psalm right here together. And it was a wonderful time together because on our very first day there, we actually went to church service at Redeeming Grace Church. And as they were singing, I recognized the tune, but most of the words I did not know because they were singing in Spanish, and my Spanish is lacking a little bit. And so it was wonderful, though, to see and observe them worship, to sing songs, to know the tune and be able to guess the words, and realize that across the ocean there are other people who are following Jesus Christ that are singing a shared song so that their community that's right around that building can hear those songs and can come in and eventually begin to sing those songs. And that's why we go. That's why we give. That's why we share what God has blessed us with so that we can be a blessing to other people. That's how we share. If you notice, the times in your life that have the least amount of music are really the times when you're hoarding everything to yourself. When the music starts to fade away and you're beginning to hold on to what you've got, your time, your family, your money, and it becomes about you and what you can get from a church service, the music volume starts to fade. Because that's not the gospel message. The gospel is not about greediness, right? The gospel is not about maintaining what you got. The gospel is about giving it all away. The gospel is what Jesus Christ did when he came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and he laid down his life in the greatest act of sacrifice that's ever happened. He did that because he loved you. He did that because his eyes were set on the joy that was before him. And now, you and I, because of that act of sacrifice, will have the opportunity to sing forever in heaven with Jesus. And we'll sing about his glory, and we'll sing about his holiness, and we'll sing nonstop. And so we want to go ahead and start singing now and singing a shared song. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the people. You know, it's been said that every Christian should have their passport, right? That you should be ready to go. If God should call, you should be ready to go. And that's just a good act of going, you know what? I'm going to get ready and see where God has me go. And that passport might just be on your street, right? Where you're like, hey, Lord, I'm ready to share. I'm singing, I'm preparing, I'm joyful. I'm going to change what I'm taking in so that I can sing a new song that's not just about me, but that it's about the Lord. And I want to do that on a daily basis so that I'm not just faking it one day a week at a church service. And then by the end of that fourth song, I'm finally starting to feel a little something, something, like maybe the Lord's breaking through. And then we go home and I leave that song where I picked it up and I don't pick it up all again. Don't do that. But I also want to sing that shared song, because the songs that you're able to sing with other people are the best song. You could sing in the shower, you could sing by yourself, but when you sing in chorus and you sing in unison with other people, like you are made to do, those are the best songs of all. And that's why here at Belmont, we want to sing that shared song, even when that means giving away the resources that God brings into this place and say, let's send them over, let's support, let's send, let people go, because we're only here because somebody else was willing to sing a song about the gospel. We're only here because somebody else was willing to step up and share with us, and we were able to hear. And now we want to keep the tune going and share with other people. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much.